We've been in the series, Fight the Powers. Today, we're going to close this series out with a message entitled, Fight the Good Fight. The premise is some things in life are worth fighting for. How many of you know that's right? You believe that? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. 1 Timothy 6:12. We'll get to that in a moment. But here's where we've been. Let's get caught up a little bit. Some of you haven't been with us every week. We've been exploring the implications of Christ's resurrection, his death and his resurrection, with regard to the ongoing struggle with the powers of evil. And what we learned was that Christ overcame Satan and all the powers, say all, the powers of darkness through the cross and through the resurrection. And our victory in Christ is not something that we wishfully hope for, but it is indeed an accomplished fact. I think we could be real about this and acknowledge that we all deal with day-to-day battles that we engage in with our defeated foe, who tries in every way that he can to do things like entice us, right? To deceive us, right? To distract us, and ultimately, you know what his goal is, right? To defeat us. You know he wants to defeat you, right? You know he wants you to not realize that you've already won, so that in the short term he can get the victory over you and he can derail your faith and your progress. And we win these present ongoing battles as we stand firm in the ultimate victory that's already been won for us. That victory that is ours, it's not something that we are trying to find or trying to get or something we're trying to get God to do for us, but it is ours if we dare to take God at his word, if we will put on our armor, and if we will dare to do what the series title said, to fight the powers, to fight the principalities and powers, to stand up. And some of you have laid down too long. Some of you have sat back too long. Some of us have been way too complacent with regard to our failure or our just neglect with regard with having to do with standing up to the powers of evil. We learned a couple of weeks ago that in order for us to walk in the victory over evil that's ours, that we've got to experience the renewing of our minds by the Word of God. And so that's an ongoing process. That's why you need to be here Wednesdays at 7 o'clock and join us. You need that Word. You need that input. You need that teaching. We learn that we have to experience the renewing of our minds and that our mindsets are key to our experiencing and realizing and walking in the victory that is already ours. And then last week, we kind of talked about the role of praise and worship in our receiving through faith that which is already ours. We realize that we don't wait until the battle is over, but we do what? Shout now, right? You pray, right, Char? You praise now. You worship now. You thank God now. We learned that last week because when you see through the eyes of the Spirit, you realize the battle is already yours. God says, I've given the territory. I've given you the city. Shout for I've given you the city. We go forward in that. And so God's already given you your marriage. God's already given you financial stability and provision. God's already given you peace in your mind and in your heart. God's already given you peace in your home. God's already given you deliverance from addiction and from sin. God's already given you peace and joy in him. God's already given us the city of Inglewood and the county of Los Angeles as territory and ministry to step out by faith and touch the lives of people. God's already given us that victory, and all we have to do is do what God says and shout now. And that's what we said last week. And so today we wrap up the series. I want to point your attention to something that Paul writes to a young man, a young pastor, young in the sense of about 30, and when you're my age, that's young. I remember, you guys remember when you were kids and you thought people who were 30 were like really old? Old to be 30 again, right? Absolutely not. I wouldn't want to go back because I didn't know then what I know now. But Timothy was probably, biblical scholars say, probably in reality about 30, which was probably a bit young for the level of leadership and the responsibility that he was faced with. Paul places him at the church of Ephesus to kind of get things in order. And Paul writes these words in 1 Timothy 6:12 from the ESV. He says this, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Now, one of the things we have to ask as we go forward is a couple of questions we'll have to look at it to get. Let me just go back. Did you get? Just look what he said. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Now, the question that brings to mind is this. What is the good fight? That's a great cliche. I'm going to fight. It's like, I don't know what the good foot is yet, you know. He said, get on the good foot. I don't know, was it the right or the left? Or, you know, is it, I don't know what the good foot is. I don't think I ever got on it. But some of you wonder, what is the good fight? And we're going to talk about that for a few moments this morning. And so to help us answer that question, one of the things we need to do is to consider what Paul is saying to Timothy in the context of the text. And as I said a moment ago, Paul left Timothy at Ephesus to help get the church there in order. Order in church is important, and leadership is vital to bringing that order into being. And Timothy's also charged with countering some of those who have infiltrated the church, probably from among their own ranks. Sometimes trouble doesn't come from across the street. Sometimes trouble comes from right within your own household. And there are those who have infiltrated the church with false teaching, and this has led to, false teaching will always mess things up. It led to increasing disorder and confusion among the members. When you have bad teaching or wrong teaching, it confuses people mentally. It distorts them spiritually. It messes them up. And so that's Timothy's job. It's a big job for a younger guy, isn't it? It's a big job to bring people together on one page. It's a big job to confront error. It's a big job. It's a big task to try to get folks organized who are disorganized. And so Paul has this pastoral concern as an apostle for the spiritual health of the church. And the goal of Paul's is that this spiritual health that Timothy will bring and lead them into will result in believers living lives that bring honor to God and that will further and advance the message of the gospel. There are these people that have introduced false teaching, and it's led to ethical breakdown and disorder among the ranks of God's people. And so Timothy has to set matters right through a couple of things. First of all, through solid integral leadership, and then secondly, through sound teaching. It's funny, this command to fight the good fight of faith actually comes up earlier in the book in a different, slightly different form. And in chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, early in the letter, he uses similar language. He says, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them," look what he says, "you may what?" We'll say it again. "You may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience." So he uses similar language there. And it's interesting, as you look at the book of 1 Timothy, the letter, the epistle of 1 Timothy, it's interesting to note that in chapter 1 here, he's using military terminology. He's using, in the Greek language, terminology that refers to military kind of warfare. That's why in the translators in many of the verses will tend to use that image of war, waging the good warfare, and then later in 6:12, let's fight the good fight. Chapter 6 of verse 12 uses more of an athletic language. Paul uses that in numerous places in his writing when he talks about keeping the faith and going the distance. It's like it's like the games in Rome, and it's like the Christian faith being a kind of marathon or a kind of contest. And the good thing about this contest is that we can all win. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that in the Christian race, I'm not running against you, I'm running with you. I'm not running to defeat you, I'm running alongside you, hopefully to encourage you to run along too, and that we all together make it to the finish line. That's a wonderful thing. And Paul uses that language. But, and so in chapter 6, verse 12, When he says, fight the good fight of the faith, it could be rendered something like this from the original language. Keep contending in the noble contest of the faith. Greek word there, agonizo, which is rendered fight. It means to enter a contest, to contend in the gymnastic games. Or in a broader, more universal sense, it means to contend with adversaries or to fight. One author suggests that you could literally translate out the phrase like this: agonize the good, agony. Now, however we render it, we understand that we're called upon to fight a good fight, that there is struggle, there is agony, there is the exertion of considerable energy and resources that we're called upon to engage in order to make it to the finish line, in order to defeat the work of Satan in the world around us, in order to beat back the powers of darkness that would engulf us and that would rob us of God's best in our lives. And so Timothy, Paul says, is to wage spiritual war. Engage in a mortal contest. Contest, contend, strive, and struggle against evil and on behalf of the good of God's people and the cause of the gospel. Get this when you read the text. This isn't saying to Timothy that this is just for you. He's fighting on behalf of others, and he's fighting on behalf of the glory of God. He's fighting on behalf of the purpose of God and the good and the welfare and the blessing of the church. I hope we come to love the church as much as Jesus does, because Jesus loved the church so much that he died for her. I hope we come to love one another and love community and love the things that God does among us, so that we would pray for one another and contend and fight for one another. That's Paul's concern for Timothy, that you fight the good fight, you wage the good warfare, you stand strong in the midst of all of the things that are beating up on God's people, and you beat them back by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the power of God and the Word of God. Paul realizes that these are not merely personality issues that are going on among you guys. These are not things that you deal with merely through human resources, but spiritual deception and its fruit. These are the work of whom? Satan. And they come to discredit the church, to derail the forward progress of God's people. What the devil desires to do, my friends, is to distract you and me, believers like us, right? To distract us away from the things that matter. Instead, luring us into preoccupation with things that are trivial on one hand and lethal on the other. That's what he wants to do. That's why church folk get so caught up in things that don't matter. It's not, you can't blame them directly. You blame them in that they're responsible for their actions. But it is the enemy that comes among us and causes us to break fellowship and to divide over things that are just totally stupid. Because that's his chief strategy. He wants to divide us. He wants to isolate you from the flock so that he can get to you. Because as long as you're with the flock, as long as you're in community, you've got help and you've got people watching and praying for you. But he wants to get you off to yourself so he can mess with your mind and he can derail your faith. But it's not about personality, and it's not stuff that just human resources will address. And so Paul says, Timothy, this is what you do. You stand up tall. You fully engage in the spiritual battles that you see in front of you. He wants this young man to understand that the work of ministry must be taken seriously. Threats to that work, whether from the outside or the inside, must be addressed quickly and decisively. That sounds very foreboding, but that's real. It's kind of like my house. It's kind of like my home, like my marriage. My marriage is sacrosanct. And so threats from the inside, meaning if I'm acting ignorant, if I'm acting untoward, or whether it is somebody else messing with my mind, or whether it is some other negative energy, whether it is trials and tribulations, whatever it is, that's too important to neglect and to allow for compromise. Same thing with God's people. The move of God's Spirit is too valuable for us to sacrifice to something trivial and foolish. It's too, the truth of God's word is too powerful in our lives for us to relinquish that to someone who would pervert that truth and distort that truth and minimize its power. What we're called to do and to be in Christ is too important and too vital. And your role, you know what? You have something to do and you have a place. There's a place for each one of you. There's something that you, God has for you to do. Something about you. Nobody else is you. You're the only you. Nobody, no one else can fill your shoes. The enemy would like to take you out of the picture, out of the contest, out of the struggle. He would like to sideline you, but you have a place, and it's important that we contend together for each other, because each one of us, no one is more important than anyone else. Some of us may occupy places of greater influence, places, positions that seem more important, but in the grand scheme of the kingdom of God, we are all important to God. All of us matters. Every task is important. Every believer is important. So you deal with these things. This is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Don't let, can I say, crazy folk mess up the church. Now, don't worry. That's what he's saying. Don't let dishonest, don't let people that have unmet personal needs that cause them to want to aspire to leadership so they can control you and mess with your mind and pull you away from your leadership because they want to prove that they're better. He said, don't let that in. Now, so we talk about, you see the essential tension here in 1 Timothy, which is continued on in 2 Timothy, and you see it in much of the New Testament, because everywhere Paul goes and preaches the gospel of grace, the liberating, wonderful power of the Holy Spirit falls on those people, Gentiles we're talking about here, that are not Jewish, and they're not brought under the law of Moses. They don't have to be circumcised and quit eating pork and all that stuff. They remain culturally Gentile, whatever culture they're in, whatever setting, they remain who they are, but they're graced with the presence of God and the wonderful, blessed Holy Spirit, which is really in the New Testament. That's kind of the seal of God's approval on those conversions. And everywhere Paul goes, people go behind him. We're Jewish guys, and you need to be like us, and you need to come under this law. You're Gentile. You need to do this. You need to do something other than just believe and trust. And so that's that current tension. And so that's why the apostles fight. That's why That's the work of the enemy. Now, you and I face challenges similar in some respects to what we see in the New Testament. Some of our struggles and our challenges occur in different forms. And so what we've got to do this morning is take what we see in Scripture and take the content of the struggle and transfer it into the form that we may experience our struggles in. And one of the things I think we could all agree upon this morning is that our spiritual progress is constantly threatened by the work of the deceiver. How many of you know that's right? We are tempted, aren't we, to become distracted by things of lesser value, lesser importance, all the while neglecting the things that are of most importance. You know what I'm talking about? And this is why the Bible says, Jesus says it, Paul says it, don't be anxious about stuff. Don't worry about stuff. Why? Because this will only pull you away from the peace that is yours in Christ and the faith that is yours. It'll rob you of your peace. It'll put you off into a realm of unbelief that is totally unproductive, and it'll totally distract you from what God has for your life. And it'll kill you physically if you let it. But we're distracted by things of lesser value. We neglect the things of most importance. We're threatened as well by false teaching, by wrong teaching, by bad teaching. But we're also threatened by our own failure to apprehend and to believe the truth that we've been given. But you know, the issue for many of us is not merely content. Content is important, and that's why I want you to be here on Wednesdays, because what happens is on Sundays we deal with some things, on Wednesdays we deal with other things, and we like to see God's people get a representative sampling of a broad base of biblical texts from all throughout the Bible. And over the course of a few years, we've probably hit on almost every book of the Bible at some point in some mention, and we've talked through almost everything, you know. Yeah, that's, content's important, but apprehension and belief is and putting it into action is important as well. Because we're told not to just be hearers of the word, but listeners also. Thank you. Thank you. We, like the Christians at Ephesus, we have an enemy, don't we? We have an enemy, and we are called, just like Timothy, what Paul writes to him, the Spirit of the Lord says to us today, fight the good fight. War the good warfare. Get up, get in the struggle, get engaged, fight the powers. Now, fighting for fighting's sake, hello, is a waste of time and can potentially be hazardous to one's health. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. Fighting, so, you know, there's a good fight. What's a bad fight? One that you lose, first of all. But fighting with one another over petty disagreements, that's a bad fight. Fighting God, that's not only a bad fight, it's futile. Remember, there was a Broadway musical back in the 70s called Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God. Fighting our own spouse. To the brothers, I say the Bible tells us that we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. If you love your wife, you love yourself. Fighting, just fighting your wife mindlessly and blatantly is like fighting, beating up on yourself. Self-flagellation. Something that you're supposed to be building up and nourishing, a relationship that you're supposed to be pouring into, you're just filling it with conflict. When human beings fight in the interest of tribalism, nationalism, materialism, sexism, racism, lust, greed, inordinate desires for power, all of these means of or reasons for fighting are ultimately satanic. They're ultimately evil. And James writes that all of this kind of human conflict, this is the bad fight, and it comes because of people's inordinate desires, their evil desires, their lust, and these lusts drive people to conflict. That's the bad fight. The bad fight comes out of the place inside of me that wants something that somebody else has, and I can't get it. And as James says, you don't ask God for what you need, and so you want to beat somebody up to take what they've got. The bad fight comes from my inordinate greed and lust. But the good fight, say good fight. I hope to raise up some fighters up in here this morning. The good fight, it's good because it's a struggle against that which is not good, against that which is evil that results. And the good fight will result in you walking in the victory that is yours in Christ Jesus if you fight that good fight. The good fight is good because it liberates people around you from bondage to sin and from Satan. It's good because it advances God's kingdom and his purposes. That's why it's a good fight. It's good because it stands on the side of righteousness and not unrighteousness. It's good because it is the good fight of the faith. In other words, it contends for the truth of God's word and it advances the gospel. In the good fight of faith, my friends, the only real loser is Satan and principalities and powers and the dominion of darkness. And unfortunately, those who would just must align themselves with his kingdom, they're the losers. But it's a good fight because here's the deal. Get this if you don't get anything else. When we fight in faith, we cannot lose. Would you enter the ring if you knew that you... Some of you say, absolutely yes. If you knew that you couldn't lose the match, would you engage in the contest if you knew that you couldn't lose? We cannot lose when we fight in faith. We may suffer temporary pain in the struggle, and we will. But here's the deal. Despite the temporary pain, what we're guaranteed is this, eternal gain. You can't lose. Fight the good fight. So the question becomes this, how do we fight the good fight? We've looked at numerous biblical passages that have to do with this good fight because this series has been about fighting the powers of evil and the realization of what Christ has already accomplished. We understand a few things, and that is that it's not by might nor by power, right? But by, not human power, but by spiritual power, by the Spirit of the Lord. We've learned that we don't wait until we see victory with our natural eyes, but we lay claim to what's been revealed to our spiritual eyes. And we worship and praise our way to victory through faith. That's what we learned through the scriptures, haven't we? We've learned that we can be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, and that we've been given this full suit of spiritual armor. And we've got to put that on in order to take our stand in the good fight. And we've been reminded that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. As I said, I believe it was last week, we remember always that people are not the enemy. The enemy rises up in people. The enemy inhabits people. But your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your wife, your husband, your boss, the mailman, the brother who throws your papers in the bushes at 5 a.m, none of those are your enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of wickedness in high places. And so we've got to put on this full suit of armor we have. People are not the enemy. Satan and his demons are the enemy. And so by extension, we realize this, that since the fight is spiritual, so are the weapons. And we understand as well that the fight is won through faith. So we fight the good fight when we dare to believe that Christ has already won. So we speak and act as those who know that they are more than conquerors through Christ. A few additional points, though, from our context that help us to understand what Paul had in mind for Timothy when he said, fight the good fight. And in chapter 2 of the same letter, 1 Timothy, Paul emphasizes the priority of prayer. And he writes this, 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1 through 4, and then verse 8. He says, first of all, and what he's doing here is saying, Timothy, as you get the church set up and organized, this is how you live. This is what you practice. He says, first of all, I urge the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He says, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Lifting up holy hands without anger or quarreling. Prayer is a kind of field upon which the battle for spiritual conquest is waged. Prayer becomes one of the places you can be so powerful, and you can fight so valiantly on your knees in prayer through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice how Paul in Ephesians concludes the discussion of the whole armor of God with a prayer challenge. We love the whole armor of God part. He says, put on the whole armor of God, but there's something else that you've got to do. He says this, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication. What is supplication? Another form of prayer. He says, prayer, supplication, stay alert, persevere in it, pray all the time through the Holy Spirit. Because prayer is one of the principal means through which we engage in the good fight of faith. Turn to somebody and say, we got to pray. Another way we fight the good fight of faith is through embracing the truth. If you read 1 Timothy, you'll see an emphasis on the power of truth over and against falsehood. The good fight is against falsehood, but is also waged through the embrace of truth over and above lies. We fight the good fight when we inundate ourselves with the truth of God's word. You'll have to do that. You'll have to pay more close attention to what you've heard. You'll have to read and study your Bible more faithfully. You'll have to start to get some of those verses. Find one of those sentences that reminds you of the promise of God. Find one, those zingers, those one-liners, those singular verses that say something powerful and remind you who you are in Christ Jesus and remind you what the blood of Jesus has done for you and remind you of who the Holy Spirit is. Get some of that stuff in you. You're going to have to do this because truth is going to be key to your success in this fight. What you don't know, learn. Some of us sit in a kind of spiritual, dare I say, ignorance, and we say, well, you know, I just don't know all that. I don't know all that stuff. Well, why not? You have your Bible. You have resources. You have your church. There are so many resources. Find out what you don't know. Go deeper in the Word. Go deeper in the truth. Learn something. Because you'll need it to fight the good fight of faith. So Paul charges Timothy. He says, command and teach in 4:11 these things. His task is the strong proclamation of the truth of God's word, which will counter the lies that are being disseminated among God's people. So we've got to immerse ourselves in the truth of God's word to make sure that we stay committed to sound teaching, that we reject sensationalistic, unsound, mythological, unprofitable thinking. That's why the internet is a wonderful thing, and it's also a hot mess. Where you start forwarding stuff around, find out if it's true. Whatsoever things are true. We reject that stuff in favor of a firm grasp of Bible truth. And then there's one more way that we fight the good fight. To do the right thing, man. The emphasis of Paul in this letter is right teaching that leads to right living. Where does right living come from? Right living doesn't come from wrong teaching. It comes from good and right teaching. That brings about right conduct. That is the goal of our faith. Not that you just know stuff, but that you do stuff and that you do the right thing through the teaching of God's word, through the help and the infilling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is contending for purity and order in the church to facilitate the healing and the growth of people. And he wants leadership, practical leadership in that church to maintain that order. We honor God. We battle evil when we, having been rightly informed and shaped by the truth, live lives of moral purity, ethical integrity, and orderly conduct. Got to do the right thing. At the risk of sounding trite. But listen, we fight the good fight by doing what is right. And it kind of starts there. Some of you are way over here. You want to fight the devil. And Jesus is saying, listen, get your house in order. Get your life in order. Get your attitude in order. Get your behavior in order. Start obeying me. And as you do that, you will be fighting. Because every choice we make to do the right thing when we could do wrong represents a blow to the powers of darkness, my friend. You want to kick Satan in the seat of the pants? You want to get out there and just do the right thing. When you choose right over wrong, you win in the much larger struggle being waged against evil in the cosmic realm. So when you choose to speak kind words rather than speaking mean-spirited words, when you choose to resist lust in favor of love, when you choose to embrace truth rather than lies, when you choose to give rather than to merely take, and when we as a church conduct God's business in an orderly, diligent manner, when we love with purity, lead with integrity, serve with humility, give with generosity, communicate the gospel with a sense of urgency, that's doing the right thing. And God is honored by that. And when we do that, we win. We win. We win. So that's how you fight, friends. That's how you do it. That's how you fight. And so let me wrap this up. I exhort you like Paul exhorted Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. Wage the noble war. Agonize the good agony. Fight the good fight. Turn to somebody and say, fight the good fight. Now let me wrap it with this. Let's conclude with this. Understand this, that anything worthwhile in life is worth fighting for. And so this is what we're going to do, friends. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to fight not in my marriage, not at my spouse. I'm going to fight for my marriage because it's worth fighting for. I'm going to fight with me to get me right so that I can do this right. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to fight at the members of my church because they're not my enemies. I'm not going to fight with them. I'm not going to bring fighting and fussing all up in the middle of the house of God. But what I'm going to do instead, this is where the power is. I begin to fight for my church and for my brothers and sisters, even the ones that I don't understand, even the ones I think is crazy. I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to fight to preserve their dignity, to bless them, to help them to get to everything they need from God. I'm going to fight for them on my knees. Some of you all are here this morning because somebody prayed for you this morning, and I have that on good authority. I'm not going to fight with those that God has placed as leaders in my life, whether it is my pastor or my parents or the people in my employment situation that I'm submitted to or subjected to, but I'm going to turn around and fight with them for the good of whatever cause we're engaged in. I'm not going to fight with those God has placed over me in the Lord, but I'm going to fight for them and contend with them. Don't do that. Don't be angry with people that lead you. But what you do is because they need to lead you well and to serve you as Jesus serving you through them, they need your prayer, they need your love, they need your support. They need to know that you're there with them and for them, and then we're working and striving together. I'm going to fight for my family, because anything worthwhile is worth fighting for. I'm going to fight for my sanctification against my own fleshly desires, because I want to be like Jesus. I'm going to fight for my health by doing the things that I know promote healthy living. I'm going to fight for my prosperity by believing God and trusting Him and learning to give. I'm going to fight the pervasive doubt and the unbelief that are all around me that would rob me and deprive me of God's blessings. I hate unbelief. I hate doubt because I know it's a thief, it's a robber, it's a lie. And so I fight it in Jesus' name with the truth of God's word. Because I want in my life to receive and to experience and to walk in everything that God has decreed is mine through Jesus' death and resurrection. And so, I said I wasn't going to preach up in here today, but I'm going to fight laziness. I'm going to fight apathy. I'm going to fight confusion. I'm going to fight disorder. I'm going to fight anxiety, worry, fear, and faithlessness. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. I said fight the good fight of faith. How many of you hear me this morning? You got it? You got it? Then take it and run with it. Take it and live it. Go do it. Let's stand. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Lord, put some fight in your people. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Bow your head to me real quick. Two things.